Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the 24th Psalm. We looked at the first couple of verses in the previous episode and just reminded ourselves again that we would do well to give close heed and attention to what the Scripture says about the creation, about what God has done. Remember the first two verses? Remember, this is the Psalm of David. Verse 1 said this, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." And so every time we read these things, if you come before the Lord, he will reveal more and more stuff or emphasize something. Just then when I read it, there was something emphasized in my mind that the world is the Lord's, yeah, and those who dwell in it. You know, do we ever really think about that, that all those who dwell in the world are the Lord's? And boy, the ramifications of that. So then verse 2, "For he," and that's the Lord, "has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the creation." And so we have from the very beginning here, in these first two verses, a very bold, very strong declaration that the earth, the world, is the Lord's. Okay? Can we extrapolate that saying all of creation? Yeah, I think it's all of creation. Well, isn't the earth and the world all of creation? Yes, it is. Now, I know what some people would say, and I know what some of y'all are thinking right now, but I'm not going to get into it. There are things of which we believe are beyond this earth, beyond this world, and it's simply not true. I'll just leave it at that, okay? But the Lord is the one who's founded it upon the seas and established it upon the river. So he declares these great things about creation. Then verse 3. There's some somewhat rhetorical questions, two questions that are asked right here. These are very familiar questions. As a matter of fact, we've already covered some of this in some previous Psalms. Here's the first question. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Remember, we saw that in the 15th Psalm, the first verse where it said, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?" So the psalmist is asking, hey, who can ascend onto the hill? We saw the same thing in the second psalm where it said, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain," speaking of what the Lord has done. So who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? And then the second question, and who may stand in his holy place? The 65th psalm actually gives a little hint into that, and we'll see that when we get to it. But it says this, fourth verse, "How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple." So David is saying, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in this holy place? Well, when you see the 65th Psalm, there's an understanding that there's an invitation that's involved with this, okay? But then David, in the 24th Psalm, gives us some insight into it. Listen to verse 4. He actually answers his question. He says this, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood," or literally means in vanity, "and has not sworn deceitfully." A lot of times people say, well, you shouldn't swear, you shouldn't swear. The Bible says you shouldn't swear. Yes and no. It depends on what part of the Bible you're looking at and what you're talking about. The Bible says, if you take an oath, honor the oath. But don't take an oath with the idea of being that you're not going to honor the oath. Okay? That is swearing deceitfully. In the New Covenant, New Testament, Jesus says this, hey, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think that's a very, very safe thing to do. I've shared this in times past, but I was actually in one time in my life in this little court proceeding on behalf of somebody. And they asked me to raise my hand and swear, "Do you honorly?" And I said, no, I won't do that. I said, but I will let my yes be yes and my no be no. I will affirm my word. And that's the legal term in our country, is that you will swear and or affirm. So I choose to affirm, and the affirmation is, my yes will be yes, and my no will be no. I'm going to tell you the truth. And so David is saying, the one who has clean hands, the one who has a pure heart, who hasn't lifted up his soul to falsehood, who hasn't sworn deceitfully. Verse 5, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so if we do this, we'll receive a blessing from the Lord. And this righteousness is interesting because the Hebrew carries the idea of a vindication. In other words, you'll be vindicated from the God of our salvation, of your salvation. The Lord is the one who saves you. The Lord is the one who blesses you. The Lord is the one who vindicates you. David then closes out. Is that the right term? Brings a little period to this thought in verse 6. He says, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Then he says, Selah. So we start off the psalm declaring that everything within earth and the world and creation is God's. So who can ascend to that? And he says, the ones who live this kind of life, the ones who have received a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the Lord, is this generation. But then he presses on with four more verses. We'll get through part of it maybe. Verse 7, he says this, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So he's saying, hey, we need to be open. We need to be an open invitation for the King of glory to come in. Come in our lives, absolutely, to come into our presence, to live day in and day out in his presence. Now listen to what he says in the balance of these verses. Who is the King of glory? And then he answers the question. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So he's basically repeating, echoing verse 7 here again. It's that thing that we've mentioned a few times in the Psalms that you'll see parallelism a lot, where something is stated and followed up with something, then it's stated again a little different kind of way. So he says, lift up your gates. This time it's the exact quote again, verse 9. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Then verse 10, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. And so 7, he says, lift up your gates. And then he says, who's King of glory? And he says, it's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He asks the question again, verse 9, or makes a statement, lift up your heads, O gates, that the King of glory may come in. And he, verse 10, asked the question, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then he ends it with a Selah. So think about this. So the idea being, hey, the King of glory is coming. And lift up your head. Be prepared, O gates. The Lord, who is the Lord? He's the one who's strong and mighty. He's the one that's mighty in battle. He is the Lord of hosts. Host, often uses an army, a warfare type of thing, often uses of all of creation, sometimes the sun, moon, and stars, sometimes of the Lord's angelic beings. He is the Lord of all of it. He is the King of glory. He starts off with what? The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. He ends with what? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Tell you what, folks, as we face and encounter the things we do day in and day out, if we just dwell upon this psalm right here, it'll totally change how we act and how we react when we know whose we are. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.